This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, day 375 of Operation Swords of Iron, and day 375 where 101 hostages are still being held in Gaza. And I saw a banner yesterday which caught my attention and I wanted to share with the listeners. And the banner said in Hebrew, Kulam Chatufim Ad She Kulam Chozrim, which means we are all hostages until everybody comes home. And I think that there is a lot of truth in that, in the sense that we are all in this kind of no man's land at the moment, just waiting and praying for our hostages to be returned. And we all feel caught up, we all feel trapped type of hostages. I mean, clearly not going through the suffering that those who are being held in Gaza are going through, but yet still feel like we're caught up in this Kulanu Chatufim. We are all hostages until everybody comes home.
Absolutely right. And so much going on that it's actually very, very difficult to get a sense of what the situation is. Can we just start off with trying to understand where we are in terms of, or where the situation is rather, in terms of rocket fire? Yesterday was a large barrage of rockets, and that of course talks to the work that Israel and the IDF is doing in Lebanon. What is the latest situation there?
So yesterday we had this massive barrage of rockets that was fired towards central Israel. Many people in the Tel Aviv area, towns and cities north of Tel Aviv, were in their bomb shelters. There was actually a barrage that was fired in the morning, didn't quite reach Tel Aviv, but certainly approached the central area, the Sharon area of Israel. People were in the bomb shelters in the morning, and then in the late afternoon, early evening, once again, a massive barrage. That was the time that we saw bomb sirens in Tel Aviv itself and in towns and cities just north of Tel Aviv. And then, of course, we see these maps of red alerts, because we get all these alerts from local authorities, and the alerts, the way in which they are issued, are very localized. So, you know, we get lists and lists and lists of towns and cities where bomb sirens are being sounded. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a missile that is being aimed towards that city. In other words, that when you see like 100 alerts, it doesn't mean that there are 100 missiles that are being fired all at once. But rather what it means is that whatever bombs and missiles have been fired at that particular moment could potentially be threatening those towns and cities. And when I say threatening, it means that also shrapnel fallout could be threatening those towns and cities. So, for example, one missile could potentially threaten a number of different localities, because when that interception takes place and the shrapnel begins to fall, it could threaten all of those locations. So I think we just need to understand, when we see those maps with all the red dots scattered everywhere, that is where the bomb sirens are being sounded, and it's not necessarily the case that each one is getting its own personalized, localized missile being fired towards it. Having said all of that, we do feel a little bit of a disconnect between hundreds of missiles still being fired every day Over 200 missiles were fired, for example, yesterday, and every day we see hundreds of missiles being fired, particularly towards northern Israel, but also getting further and further south. That is on the one hand. On the other hand, we see amazing progress by IDF soldiers in southern Lebanon, where it seems as if, though, in that area of southern Lebanon that borders on the Israeli border, the IDF troops seem to be moving around pretty freely. And we've even seen civilian journalists moving around that area. We've seen senior IDF generals. So how is it that they seem to be moving around almost without threat in that area, and yet we've got these massive barrages of rockets that are being fired towards us, and of course drones? Let's not forget the drones, because there is a lot of focus right now on trying to reduce or take out Hezbollah's drone capability. We've discovered, to our detriment, unfortunately, that drones can be extremely dangerous and extremely problematic. And I think there is now much more of a focus to try to take out the drones at their core, rather than to wait to try to intercept them when they encroach upon our airspace. So back to my original question of this disconnect that we feel between the barrages of rockets and the freedom which the IDF troops seem to have in southern Lebanon. And I think what we're seeing is that those Hezbollah operatives, terrorists who are still functional, still able to do things, have sort of moved a little bit further north, but they still have significant firepower. So even though that border area around the Israeli border in southern Lebanon has been cleared out a lot, and there is a huge amount of weaponry and tunnels and Hezbollah bases which have been taken over by the IDF and controlled by the IDF, that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the beginning of the story, because it seems as if, though, as you move further north, the firepower still exists. And that's really where a lot of the missile fire is coming towards Israel from. And it's not clear exactly what the IDF's plan is about trying to control that and to take further steps to prevent those missiles. But I have little doubt that our troops are working very, very hard to gain a strategy. And clearly, every time missiles are being fired, the Air Force is on alert, ready to target the source of that fire. Some of it might even be coming from as far north as Beirut. It's not clear. We're not being told exactly what the source of the fire is, but it seems as if, though, it's not in that southern Lebanon area, as was the case up until now. What that also means is that the further north we move Hezbollah, the less opportunity they have to attack into Israeli territory with the short-range missiles, which we've also discovered are very problematic, the anti-tank missiles and the grenades and things like that, which we have a very difficult time defending against. So the further north we move the Hezbollah operation, the less threat there is of those very, very short-range missiles. And hence, we're seeing a migration towards the use of much longer-range missiles. But I'm sure that the coming days and weeks will show also significant difference. And by the way, this almost mirrors what we saw with Hamas in Gaza, where even though we seem to take control of large swathes of Gaza and to control Hamas there to be able to limit their ability to fire missiles, nonetheless, the infrastructure was so significant that they were able to fire missiles at us until even recently. We've had some missiles being fired at us, some sporadic incidents of missiles being fired, even though it seems as if the IDF has very, very strong control over most areas of Gaza. So I think we're seeing the same phenomenon in Lebanon. Lebanon is clearly a different animal. And the most significant difference with Lebanon is that there are large swathes of the Lebanese population who are supportive of Israel. These Christians in particular are supportive of, are against Hezbollah. And many of them also support Israel. So we will just keep a watch to see how that progresses over the coming days and weeks.
The U.S. administration has authorized the deployment of a special U.S. anti-ballistic missile system in Israel. Is that now in place? When does that arrive? Because that surely would be an indication as to when this next phase of the war is going to kick off.
So the missile system, which is called THAAD, T-H-A-A-D, it stands for Terminal High Altitude Area Defense. It's an anti-ballistic missile defense system that the U.S. The U.S. military has deployed. That, as I understand it, is due to arrive today. So that should be deployed pretty soon, not for the first time in Israel, because it's already been tested in Israel. I think back in about three or four years ago, THAAD was already tested in Israel. And as I understand it, THAAD has been deployed in very, very few countries around the world, Israel being one of them. I think Romania is one, United Arab Emirates is another. So it's been deployed in very, very few places around the world. And this is something which could potentially complement Israel's multi-layered system, because this THAAD, as I said, is an anti-ballistic missile system. And it seems as if, though, it's able to intercept even further away than our Arrows anti-ballistic missile system. What's written on the package of THAAD says that actually it doesn't carry a warhead, that it simply intercepts the incoming warhead and uses the movement of the THAAD to somehow intercept that warhead and explode it in flight. And it generally works to try to intercept the incoming missile when it's on the way down into its target rather than right way up in outer space. It's going to be interesting to see how all of that pans out. But I think that the fact that THAAD is being deployed here sends a much, much bigger message about some of the interactions between the U.S. and Israel right now. It's worth mentioning that the Washington Post carried a report which has been splashed all over all of the Israeli papers today. And that report says that Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Joe Biden have agreed that Israel will not attack nuclear facilities or energy resources in Iran. Now, you may recall that we discussed last week some of the potential targets that Israel may wish to target in its response, which we still expect will be upcoming. I feel a little skeptical about this Washington Post story, which seems to be taken as a given and splashed all over the Israeli press. And the reason that I feel a little skeptical about it is because it seems a little as crazy to me that such a great opportunity to hit the nuclear sites would be overlooked. This is the strongest moment, the most justifiable moment to somehow hit Iran's nuclear facilities.
So, Anthony, I was saying that to listeners earlier. For me, it makes absolutely no sense. I can understand the motivation around oil because it can plunge the world into a further financial crisis. I get it. But to say don't take out Iran's nuclear, that means, well, for why? It's all about military. It's all about the destruction of Israel. No good comes out of it. It either means there's something else at play here, or perhaps Israel actually doesn't have the capability of doing it.
Well, I don't know exactly what lies behind this statement. And as I say, I am a little skeptical about it because it seems the most ideal opportunity to do what Israel has been threatening to do for a long time already, which is to hurt Iran's nuclear capabilities. But we need to remember that the U.S. election is coming up very, very soon. And I'm sort of wondering to myself whether we might not be waiting until after the U.S. presidential election. It's only another 3 weeks' time, 5th of November. It's not that far away. We've waited this long. Why would we potentially not wait a little longer in order to make more of an impact, in order to get more of what we want? And perhaps waiting that time would be worthwhile rather than to try to shoot sooner, but to be limited in how we can potentially respond. So I don't know whether we might be waiting until after the 5th of November, clearly for public consumption right now, and potentially for the consumption of the US voter, Israel has agreed not to hit Iranian nuclear sites and will focus its response on military sites. Now, we can all interpret that in the way that we wish. I feel it would be a missed opportunity. I feel that the Israeli administration, the Israeli government, the Israeli military would feel like that is a missed opportunity, that that's not the way that we would like to do things. We are still being told that the response will be significant and will be very, very substantial, that there will be little doubt about the response. It will be surprising, in the words of some people. But I don't know whether I'm buying into all of this. So maybe we are waiting until after the election in order to respect the president, who has in return agreed to deploy the THAAD and to help us further with whatever we need, because we feel that Iran may well respond in a very significant way. But it's interesting to know what the listeners think about this, because I think there's lots of smoke and mirrors. I don't think that we necessarily should believe everything that's splashed out on the front pages.
I definitely get that sense. Stephen says it's clear that he is Biden his time. Cute. That's very, very, in terms of the election. But it's very odd. You know, there were a lot of reports on social media last night. The attack is imminent. Israel's about to. Coming from pro-Palestinian, pro-Iranian accounts as well. So there is so much information, but so little actually information that it's very difficult to know.
And we'll feed it into the conversation that you had with Ron Schleifer, who, of course, will talk about, you know, all the psychological warfare that is going on right now. And there is little doubt that everything that we read in the press is part of that psychological environment.
And that is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you, as always. It's about to go, 8 o'clock. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.